Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. We are streaming from the City of Brotherly Love, Taylor Tabernacle, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. We're so excited you decided to join us this morning, whether in person, in the sanctuary, or on YouTube or Facebook Live. We look forward to a great time in the Lord this morning. We thank you for joining us. Amen. 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 So excited this morning. Just excited to be in the house of the Lord. I've been absent for a couple of weeks and it just feels good to be home again. Amen. Oh, I want to give him some glory this morning. Won't you join me this morning? Just thank him for his goodness this morning. Thank him how he keeps us. Amen. In these terrible times this morning, we thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives, Lord. We bless your holy name this morning. Hey, we pray for those who are on their way to the sanctuary, whether it be here or some other house of worship. We just are excited this morning, excited to give God the glory and the praise this morning. Hey, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to hear what God has to say this morning. It's kind of nice, you know, when you can't get here to listen online, but there is nothing like being in his presence. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, help me lift his name up this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the heat has us a little drained and it's been a little tough this week. Amen. Trying to stay cool, but we give him all the glory, all the honor and all the praise for who he is this morning. Amen. Amen. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of that praise. Amen. It's not because anything he's done for me. It's not because of that. It's because he's God. Because he is. Because he stepped out of eternity into time for me. Amen. Amen. He made a path, a way back that I might connect with him. Amen. Yes, we give him glory this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Lift his name up. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're just glad this morning to be in the house, lift your hands, lift your voice and say hallelujah. We give him all the glory this morning. We bless his name this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Hey, if you would stand to your feet, we're going to go to the word of God first. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Amen. She kept it short this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Amen. Say amen if you have it. Say wait a moment if you're still looking. Amen. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That's a mouthful this morning. Yes, we can come boldly. We stand boldly on his word this morning. We have access to him. We have confidence that he hears our every plea, our every prayer, our every utterance. He sees every tear this morning through our faith in him. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a mouthful this morning. Let's go to the throne of grace. Most holy and wise Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. We just came to say thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that you never leave us, God, despite our circumstance. Lord, despite what we've done, you still love us, Lord. We bless your holy and your righteous name this morning, Lord. Oh, your goodness and your mercy, it lasts from generation to generation, God. We thank you, God. We thank you that you've made a way out of no way, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name this morning, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Lord, as these doors are open, Lord, to lead someone in that we might show them your marvelous light this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to be a shining light right here on this corner, Lord, in Southwest Philadelphia, Lord. Help our lives to be a shining example of your love, your grace, and mercy that may lead others to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help our light, Lord, to shine in this dark world, Lord. Darkness is trying to consume this world, Lord. Oh, but we know your light shines from everlasting to everlasting, Father, in the name of Jesus. And let it shine, Lord, through us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord, this morning. We thank you for who you are in our lives this morning, Lord. While the world seems to be crashing around us, Lord, we stand on our faith in you, Lord. Our faith that you are in control, that you hold us in the palm of your hand, God. And when it seems darkest, Lord, we look to the light, Lord, for guidance, Lord. We look to your word for guidance, Lord. We listen to that small voice, Lord, and we know and we glorify your name this morning, Lord. We give you praises this morning because, Lord, we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or even imagine, Father. We thank you this morning, Lord. We lift your name up this morning, Father. We give you glory this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to see this day, Lord, that we may lift our voice and give you praise, God. We thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for traveling mercies, Lord, for those who are on their way yet, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the train of your robe fill this temple this morning as your word goes forth. Lord, let your presence abide in every house, every door that is opened in your name this morning, Father. Bless each and every minister, pastor, and speaker this morning, Lord, as they bring your word across the highways and byways of this world, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, God, because it's due. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. And we bless your holy and your righteous name this morning. Lord, we ask these and all other blessings in the precious and matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated all over the house. Amen. 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 And amen. Hey, I see our sister Leah is supposed to be with us today, but she's running late, I'm sure. So what we're going to do is have a congregational hymn. And that does not mean I'm going to stand up here and sing. Amen. 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 That means we're going to join together in something that we all know and we all love. The first thing comes to my mind is what a mighty God we serve. Amen. And I know everybody in this house knows that name. Amen. Amen. So come on, lift your voice and join with me in following our brief selection. The next voice you will hear will be that of our pastor, Elder Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Amen. Come on. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Come on, angels, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Angels, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God. Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Come on, angels. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Come on, feel it. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels, angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. One more time. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels, angels bow before angels. Angels bow before angels. Angels bow before angels. Angels bow before heaven and earth. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen.
Good morning, and God bless you. Thank you, Sister Barbara. Thank you, Taylor Tabernacle, for a congregational song. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue our series on betrayal. I'm going to ask you to go to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter. There we are going to look after the verses 17 through 21. Again, we're in the Gospel of St. Mark, as we have been. We're coming to the conclusion of it. The 14th chapter, verse 17. And then we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Acts, the second chapter, verse 22. If you have that, I'm going to ask that you follow along with me. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. I'm just going to ask that you follow along in whatever translation you may have. It says, in the evening he came to the 12. He came with the 12. And now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? Then another answered and said, is it I? And he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12. He who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man, it would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Amen. Let's add to the witness out of Acts, the second chapter, beginning at verse 22. You have it, going to ask that you flip there with us. And we're picking up Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So last Sunday we spent time pointing out the fact that God chooses your betrayer. You don't get to choose, left up to us. More than likely, we wouldn't choose who wants to be betrayed. But in spite of the damage betrayal causes, the Word of God helps us to realize that it is God who chooses our betrayer. And so this Sunday, I want to focus in real narrowly on this fact, that not only does God chooses our betrayer, but the fact that God uses betrayal. He chooses who's going to betray you, and then he uses the very act of betrayal for his glory. While we're standing, shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, we thank you for this another Lord's Sunday morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have as sons and daughters of the Most High to gather here in this place to center ourselves around the Word of God, that we might glean some insight into the hidden wisdom and hidden mysteries possessed by God. We thank you for your self-revelation to us through your Word. Pray that you would give us a hunger and desire for your Word, and in so doing that we may come to know you better and better as the days go by. So as we sit here attentively, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Reveal to us the Word of God in such a way and in a manner that would inspire and encourage us to live more steadfastly for Christ himself, knowing that the day approaches and it's not far off. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Betrayal, especially by a close friend or family member, is quite devastating. When we face betrayal, we encounter feelings of anger, disbelief, sadness, and also great pain. It tears our heart apart. It may change us permanently, because we may never trust people again. That is the damage of betrayal. Looking here at verse 17, the time has come for the Passover celebration. It's evening. It was custom in Jesus' day, they celebrated the Passover after sundown, so evening has come. And they have gathered in the place that Jesus has appointed for them to gather, that he might have this last supper, if you will, with his disciples. And it says, now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Evening has come. The Passover meal has been prepared and is now being served. As was the custom, they are on the floor, on the seating mats. They are relaxed. They are going through the ceremonial dinner of Passover. Christ, being the head figure, is leading the Passover. They have perhaps already opened with the first cup of wine in the Passover. They may have already eaten the bitter herbs of the Passover. And everything about the evening is going along fine. This is Passover. This is why we as Hebrew people come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city of God, is bustling with Hebrews from around the diaspora have come to Jerusalem for this very cause, to celebrate the feast of Passover and to be in the holy city for the feast of unleavened bread, so that they can remember the great miracle that God wrought for them as a people and a nation when he brought them out of Egypt. And as they are sitting and as they are eating, Jesus makes this announcement that one of you will betray. What a downer to the night. Here we are, we're celebrating Passover. Here we are. I told you Passover was not only a holy time in Jerusalem, it was a family time because men were required to come that were of age and they brought their families with them. So in many ways for the Hebrew people, it was a great big family reunion. We remember the story of Jesus returning from a Passover event as a young boy, gets lost and separated from his family. And I always find it amazing when looking at that story, they eventually find them back in the temple. But the Bible said they went a 2 or 3 days journey before they even noticed Jesus was missing. Why, how can that be? And then when you really think of, it's a big family, it's a family reunion. You lose track of your kids at the family reunion as soon as you get there. Why? They start running with other kids and hanging out. But as long as the family is together, you don't take any thought of it. Oh, they're somewhere around here. They're in the back. They're in the front. They're out in the pool. They're over there on the basketball court. I'm sure with all of this family here, they're somewhere around. Right? So the Passover not only was a spiritual and religious event, in many ways it was a family event. And Jesus has gathered here now with his most closest friends, what he declared was his own family. Family meal, family time, we're all here. This is a great occasion. This is a wonderful time. And in the midst of it, Jesus says, one of you will betray me. One of the things that we have to be mindful of, that betrayal is a fact of life in the Christian journey. And while that may have sound shocking to the 12 who were sitting eating with him, I'm hopeful that by this time in your Christian journey, your Christian experience, you have come to realize that betrayal is a part of the process. Can I get a witness? Jesus says in his own words in John 16:33, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. I mean, it's part of, and this statement when he says you have trouble, this trouble, there is a trouble that the whole world encounters because of sin. And then there is a unique trouble that we as believers encounter because we name the name of Jesus Christ. So as believers, we face double trouble, right? We face the danger of suffering violence on any given day by walking outside of our doors. But even more than that, as believers, we have the potential for even greater danger as the enemy targets his arrows at us. In this world, you will. So on the one hand, for the disciples, the statement at that particular time in that particular setting may have seemed shocking. I'm hopeful that for us, not so much. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But he said what? Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. He's saying what? I've overcome all the trouble that is in the world. I've proven victory. And if you would just trust and follow me, he said, I'll show you how to gain the victory over this world. Right? Are you with me? So he makes this shocking statement. And it wasn't so much that he would be betrayed, but the fact that he would be betrayed by what he says in verse 9, he said that what's going to happen, he said, I'm going to be betrayed not by the chief priests, not by the Herodians, not by the Pharisees, not by the scribes, not by all of those who have publicly come out against me. but this betrayal. And I told you on last Sunday, I got ahead of myself, but I told you, betrayal can only be executed by someone close. If they're not close to you, it's not betrayal. They just hate you because they hate you. Right? But you know that. They told you that already. So that's not a surprise. There's no shock value. I know that because they told me from Jump Street. Verse 19, he says, and they began to be sorrowful, and they began to say to him, think about this. Passover. We're in the holy city. We're in a private dinner, which everything is going along fine. Imagine having dinner with Jesus. I mean, what more could you want? What more could you ask for? But in the middle of it, he says, one of you will betray me. And they immediately, read the text closely. And they began to be sorrowful. I just told you the first time I read this, his statement, one of you shall be, it was to me a shocking statement. What? Where are you coming with this? Jesus, we got the lamb, the bitter herbs, we got wine, it's all good. Hey, one of you are good. To me, when I first, it seemed to be a shocking statement. But it wasn't for the disciples. Look at their reaction. The Bible says when they heard it, to a man, they became sorrowful, grief-stricken, sad in their countenance and in their spirit. Because he said, one of you will betray me. So you got to ask yourself, why would they become sorrowful? This, the 12, and I told you last week, these weren't any 12. These were the 12 that what? He himself chose, right? In that last Sunday, they didn't come because he put out a survey. He didn't come because, no, he handpicked these guys. And the Bible says when he announces the betrayal, to a man, they all become sorrowful, grief-stricken, sad, almost depressed by his announcement. And they all began to say, they say this statement. They said, Lord, is it I? Lord, if it's someone at this table, is it me? And the thing I want us to grab out of this is that betrayal is so subtle. A lot of people think betrayal is overt. You know, we think of this and we look at the story and we look at the life of Judas. It was overt. Why? The Bible tells us that Judas did what? Judas went to them and said, how much you gonna give me? Right? It was a forward act. He didn't stumble. They didn't come up onto him one night after work. They didn't find him. No, he went to them. Said, what will you give me that I betray him into your hands? Right? Right? But no. But when they hear that there is a betrayal, they become sorrowful. And I love this about the disciples. Because it is a reality for all that follow Jesus. How can you be really sure that it's not you? These were the 12. These were the 12 that were chosen. These were the 12 that stood with him. That stood by him. These were the 12 that assisted in the miracles. These were the 12 that assisted in the healing. These were the 12 that helped feed the fire. These were the 12 closest, 12 chosen 12 handpicked, and yet none of them were sure. The Bible says this of the righteous, that the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Anybody know what that means? That means you just barely. The door was closed. Just another moment later, you would have been on the other side. But the righteous, we just barely get in. And he said, if that is the case, where will the ungodly and sinners appear? In this walk that we have with Christ, this is why our faith in him has to be strong. Because without him, without our faith in him, who among us can be really sure? None of us knows what we will do until the moment of truth actually comes. And I know we love to stand in pulpits and places and things and say, and we're going to work this out next week, because Peter gives us this example. Peter stood up and said, I will never. Who among us can be really sure? I'm telling you, you don't know until the moment of truth comes. I know what you say now on Sunday. I know what you say now with all the saints around. I know what you say now with everyone. But what do you say when the moment of truth appears? What old folks used to say, when the rubber hits the road. That's when your faith is not tested on Sunday mornings. Your faith is not tested during the praise. Your faith is not tested. No. But there's coming a time when your faith will, and the question is, will you pass the test in that moment? They said they became sorrowful. They became sorrowful because they did what we all should do every morning. They finally turned the light back on themselves. And when they self-examined themselves, they still weren't sure. We done gone this far. We done been with them this long. Well, surely we will continue. The gospel writer says they went out from among us to prove that they were never with us. But they gone this far. They've been with us this long. So here it is. Not only will we be victims of betrayals, we must guard against the temptation to become betrayers. This is the lesson he's teaching, right? We'll conclude it next Sunday when we look at Peter. But at that very moment, there was the temptation, and they weren't confident, not in Jesus. They weren't confident in themselves. How do I know that I'm not the one? And they begin to feel sorrowful and say, Lord, is it I? Here it is, verse 20. And so he answered them. He said, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. One of the damning things about betrayal is the proximity of it. What I was just talking about. For betrayal to be betrayal, it's got to be someone close to you. It's got to be someone you love. It's got to be someone you trust, right? If you don't trust them, you're not surprised they lied on you. Well, whatever. You know what I mean? You're not surprised they said. You're not surprised they did. But what makes betrayal so hurtful is that it is carried out by someone close to you. Jesus says, not only is it going to come out of the 12, but even amongst the 12 is going to be someone close enough that as I take the unleavened bread and dip in the dish, my betrayer will dip also. Why? Because he's close enough. We dip out of the same bowl. We live in the same place, right? Close enough to be able to execute the betrayal. Verse 21, we'll conclude it here. He says, the Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. The betrayer has to be close. The betrayer has to be familiar. The betrayer has to be someone you know and who knows you. Right? If not, they're not betrayal. Psalms 41:9 says this, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, it is him who has lifted up his heel against me. Close enough. The inner circle. The 12 I chose. Not 12 who said they wanted to hang with me, but 12 I chose to hang with. They're close enough. And so he says, the Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Jesus was no victim of betrayal by Judas. Right? Most people, if you're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit as you read the text, they read this and they say, oh, here Jesus is being betrayed by Judas. Right? But as we study the Word of God, we begin to understand that Jesus was no victim of betrayal. Are you with me? Let me give you this. Here's your praise point. You might only get one this sermon, so you better take it. Jesus was not betrayed by Judas, and neither are you. Are you with me this Sunday? Got to change your... Whoa, no, Pastor. I was. Because it cut so deep, I was. Because it hurt so bad, I was. Because I lost years out of my life. I was betrayed. I was done in by someone close. Jesus was not a victim of betrayal. And neither are you. I got the witness to prove it. Here it is. Jesus was no victim. His betrayal by Judas was prophesied in the Old Testament. Psalms 22, Isaiah 53. And all of it was a part of God's predetermined plan to provide salvation. Are you with me? All of it, including the betrayal, was a part of God's predetermined plan to provide salvation to the world. Look at somebody and say, God be glorified. God be glorified, because God uses the betrayal to bring about his own glory. And if God be glorified, so shall we. Right? If God is good, if Jesus gets lifted up, then all of those who trust in Jesus shall in like manner also be lifted up when he comes back again. How can it be? Because God uses the betrayal for his own glory. Somebody shout yes. Peter tells the gathering population in the city on the day of Pentecost. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. He said, him being delivered by the predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified, put him to death, whom God has now raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by death. Look, Judas betrayed him, but God lifted him up. I thought I'd give more than one hand. I thought I'd give more than one to say, yes, I've been betrayed. Yes, I've been done in by somebody close. Yes, the knife hurt as it went in my back. Yes, the crown of thorns hurt my head. Yes, the 39 lashes tore me apart. But before it was over, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus. And all of it was a part of God's plan from the very beginning. Jesus' betrayal was prophesied thousands of years before he was ever born. God chose the betrayer for his son. And then God used the betrayer. Judas had to betray him to serve as the catalyst to kick God's plan of redemption into high gear. Because up to now, they've always wanted to kill him, but they all, you see it all throughout the, they were fearful of the people. It even says it in this text that they didn't want to take him until what? After the, well, they feared a riot. They've been wanting to kill him for a long time, but they needed something or someone to ignite the plan and put it in motion. Here it is. This is it. I'm finished with it. Betrayal. Get this. This is what I got out of my study, and here it is. I'm going to give it to you. I'm like Anita Baker. I'm giving you the best that I got. Preach, Pastor Ford. You too young. You don't even know about Anita. Betrayal in the hands of the enemy is a weapon of destruction. That's what the enemy uses betrayal for. To kill, steal, and destroy. But betrayal in the hands of God is a tool to build and magnify God's own glory. I told you the witness is all in your Bible. Jesus betrayed by Judas. And even before Jesus came, there was one like Jesus. In Genesis, one beloved of his father like Jesus. And his name was Joseph. Beloved of his father. Beloved so much that envy and jealousy broke out. And they conspired to sell him into slavery. They betrayed their father's trust. They betrayed their brother's love. They sold them into slavery, which they equated to be equal to death, because they would never see him again. They sold him to a traveling band who wasn't going to set up shop locally. They were making their way to a far country. So in selling Joseph, he became dead. Dead to his parents. Dead to his brothers. Why? They never see him again. And they betrayed their family trust with Joseph. Right? Here's the witness. Here it is right here. Genesis 50:20. He says this, now that the tables have been turned, now a number of years have gone by, and Joseph has gone from being the younger son, not the youngest, but the younger son whom they hated, to now a prince in Egypt. And now Joseph is presented. Help me, Zane. Zane, the only one I got, Lord Jesus. I get excited when Zane comes to church, because at least I know I get one amen. Joseph had a chance to repay his brothers for what they had done to him, but to prove that God uses betrayal for his own. Look at what Joseph said. Either you got it or you don't. Here it is. This is him confronting his brothers now. Years and years and years later. Tables all turned. He is now with the upper hand. Look what he says. He says, but as for you. He said, the curtains have come back. I know it was you. I know what you did. I know why you did. He said, but as for you, look at what he said. He said, you meant it for you. That was your purpose in betraying me. You were motivated by evil. But here it is. But God meant it for my good. He said, in order to bring about as it is this day, so that I may say many people alive, you did it to kill me, but God used the betrayal to not only save me, but to save you as well. He used it not only to save my children. God used the betrayal to save your... Oh, God, help me. Joseph's brothers betrayed him. But God made it good. Judas, one of the 12, betrayed Jesus. But God made it good. Now that I've reached the conclusion of the sermon, hopefully now your faith in Christ has been encouraged enough to believe that God chose your betrayer. Now that I've come to the conclusion of the sermon, hopefully your faith has been lifted up high enough to now see through the witness in the Word of God that all throughout of Scripture, God uses the betrayal. Yes, the devil meant it for evil, but your God has made it good. All because God is going to get the glory for his name. God uses the betrayal. So as you look back over your life, and you begin to play back the hurtful memories. I love the thing they got on the Google, on the phones with Google, whoever. They always show you, this is what you were doing last year, July 14th. And it's always good stuff. Always a happy time. It's always something to look back on, to be proud of. Like, oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, last year we were here. Last year we were doing this. But as we stand to our feet, I want to challenge you this Sunday. And I want you to go back through the pictures of your life. And I want you to swipe right over all the happy moments. I want you to skip over all the happy moments. But I want to challenge you to find the pictures of betrayal. Find the pictures of disappointment brought on by those closest to you. Yeah, I want you to find them. Yeah. And some of the pictures may cause you to cry. Some of the pictures may stir up resentment and anger. But you got the Word of God now. And all I want you to do is to take your phone and just show it to God. Just say, God, according to your Word. I heard what the preacher said. You know what? I almost didn't come to church this Sunday, but I'm glad. Not only am I glad I came, I'm glad I came and I brought my phone. I want to show God, look, this is the one. This is the one you chose for me. You allowed them in my life. You allowed them to get close to me. You allowed them to get close to my family. Knowing the betrayal they were about to bring about. Here it is, God. Your word says that they meant it for evil. But you promised me that you would make it good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we don't know how you do what you do. Nor do we understand the deep things of God. But what we do know, but what we do understand, is your word given to us. Thank you for Joseph. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the countless people contained in Scripture that suffered betrayal, but who in the end, God, you made it good. Thank you for all of the living witnesses that we have today. Family, friends, church members who have suffered betrayal
and have refused to drink from the cup of retribution. But having said, allowed you to execute vengeance, which you says belongs to you. And so, Father, I pray now for these people, those that have suffered betrayal, those that have befriended the betrayers in their life, and have refused to repay, have refused to get back or get even, but now stand waiting for the promise of God, and that is for you to make it good. So I add my faith to their faith, and we pray collectively that God, before this life is over, make it good. Make it good in our lifetime so that we can see the hand of the Lord. Make it good in our lifetime so that we can see our children be blessed and not cursed. Make it good so that I can tell the world this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. That's your prayer this Sunday morning. Let's put the selah on our prayer. Let's close out our prayer with praise. Let's close out our prayer with thanksgiving. If you believe God's going to make it good, come on, praise Him in advance for us. If you believe vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to you, not to me, not to our family. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm going to make it good. Hang in there. I'm about to make it good. Don't get evil. Don't get even. Don't do paybacks. But let God lift you up. Let God put you on a high mountain. God is going to do it. God chooses your betrayer. And God uses the betrayal to bless you. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to accept. The 12 couldn't believe it. They would. Is it I? That's not even possible. And I know that's how you feel now. Pastor, you don't know. You didn't know me then. You weren't there when it happened. The wound is so deep. I'm still bleeding today. But I'm telling you, the healer is here. He's going to heal you. He's going to heal everything that the betrayer did. And he's going to restore back to you. The scripture says, everything that the canker worm and the pond, everything the enemy tried to steal. And you know what I love about it? Even if he did steal it, he did take it. God said, I'm going to give it back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to prove to you that I can use your betrayer to bless you more than what he did to take from you. Come on, Taylor, everybody, everywhere, give the Lord your very best praise.
continue to lift his name up. Hallelujah. 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 Bless his name this morning. Hey, we don't want to miss an opportunity to lead someone to Christ. If you're listening this morning, because I think everybody in the sanctuary is home folk, as they used to say. But if you would like to meet our risen Savior this morning, I invite you to repeat these words after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from all my sins today. Amen. Amen. If you repeated that prayer with me this morning, we believe you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and we'd like to help you on that journey. Amen. Please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com. And hit church contact and let us know that you've made that decision and check the box that says, I am interested in becoming a Christian. Someone from this ministry will contact you straight away so we may help you on the next steps in your journey. Amen. Amen. If you have a prayer request for us this morning, www.taylortabernacle.com prayer request page. Or you can call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. Amen. And we'll add you to our prayer list. Amen. Amen. What a message. What a message this morning. Amen. Short and powerful. Amen. We've all felt the sting of betrayal in our lives at one time or another. Amen. But he uses it for our good, for his glory. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's offering time in the tabernacle. There you go. That's what I'm talking about over there. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our sister Logan Lyons come up, and she's going to lead us in offering. Following that, we're going to have our sister Jessica Lyons come and give us the announcements this morning. Amen. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go through taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, P.A. 19139. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door for your tithes and offering and the other one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support for our ministry.
So the pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, a prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. and Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sunday. And lastly, do not forget about Pastor Ford's YLE Challenge. Jesus Week Philly is coming. Sunday, July 21st from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., prayer and evangelism outreach at Taylor Tabernacle following morning worship. Please wear your Taylor t-shirt this day, and please see Sister Keisha Kiriton if you are able to participate, and everyone can pray with the congregation for the Lord's favor as we reach out in our neighborhood. Other events for Jesus Week include Saturday, July 20th from 12 to 4 p.m. will be a community outreach event at Sherwood Park, which is 57th and Baltimore. There'll be free hot dogs, drinks, performances, and many more. Taylor Tabernacle will have a table at this event, and we need volunteers to assist. Donations are welcome. The Soil to Sanctuary Farmers Market will be August 10th, partnered by Taylor Tabernacle, The Garden at Turning the Tide, and Bible Union Fellowship Church. This event will be from 12 to 4 p.m. at 6049 Pine Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19143, which is a large open garage. Thank you.
Amen, amen. If all hearts and minds are clear, we're ready to receive our pastor for the benediction.
God bless you, and thank you for being out this Sunday. Thank you so much, not only for your attendance, but your attention to the Word of God. Hopefully it finds a resting place in each of our hearts. Amen. Now unto Him who alone can present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and the whole host of angels. Father, continue to work on us, to work through us, that by your grace and through your blood, we might be found faultless and blameless of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by any merit or good works of our own, but by the grace of God and the goodness of his love towards us. Help us to respond in and by faith. And above all things, get glory to yourself, glory to the Son, and glory to the Holy Ghost. Keep us as we depart this place, but not your presence. Keep us as we hug and fellowship one last time. Keep us until the gathering together again in your name, in this place and for this very purpose, to give you glory. All of God's people said amen. 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 God bless you, Taylor. Don't leave without hugging everybody. Hug everybody. Love on everybody.